The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
And welcome to episode 17 of Hashtag No Filter. I'm very excited today. I have someone here who has not only been on TV, but he is also an incredible force in the restaurant food industry. His name is Justin Turner. You probably maybe know that name. He won Chopped season...
Oops. It's called The Bold and the Bacon Full. It's the name of the episode. I think it's 28.
Okay.
There's so many seasons.
Either way, I'm sure they... So Chopped. He was on Chopped and won on Chopped. And he's a very big name in the Houston restaurant scene. And I'm just very excited to have him on today. We're going to talk about various things. We're going to talk about his industry, how he got into the industry, dating and relationships when you're in that industry, and more. So we're just going to dive right in. Welcome, Justin. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited.
Me too.
Well, first, before we get into anything else, tell us a little bit of your background, how you got into what you are doing now, your story. Tell us a little bit.
So originally from Chicago, moved to Memphis when I was 16 years old, immediately started cooking. My first job was at a fast food chain.
Oh, cool.
Wendy's.
Yeah.
I did that for about a year. From Wendy's, I went into a famous barbecue place in Memphis. Not knowing that cooking was going to be my thing. I've always loved cooking shows. As a little kid, I used to watch like Yen Ken Cook and Julia Child,
yeah.
Frugal Gourmet. But I started cooking for money to pay for my car insurance, and I just kept getting good jobs. So after the barbecue place, I worked at an amazing Italian place, did everything from scratch, piqued my interest a little. But what did not pique my interest was the money. Guys and cooks still to this day, 20 years later, don't make great money.
Really? Okay.
You make more money in the front of the house. So I decided to move to the front of the house, got a job at Outback Steakhouse, waiting tables. And then like 6 months into it, there was an issue in the kitchen. They needed help. They asked if anyone on the floor could help out for the night. They knew that I had experience in the kitchen. I said I would. And flash forward 6 months after that, I was in the kitchen pretty much the whole time.
Wow.
I worked my way around the entire kitchen. I was working grill, which, you know, normally takes a while in their system. And one of the head kitchen managers said, dude, you should do this for a living.
Wow. How old are you now? Or how long ago was this?
I was 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, yeah, it worked a lot right away. I started at 15, got all that experience in that first 3 years. And then basically 18, 19, asked my mom if I can go to culinary school. And she was like, your school record sucks. I pretty much barely, you know, skated by graduating high school. She was like, I'm not going to pay for it. So I'll send you to this class if you pay half. And it was a course that was 6 weeks long. It was really for home cooks and caterers and people just to get a little bit more education.
Yeah.
But the chef was amazing. His name's Joseph Carey. And he...
This was where?
In Memphis.
Memphis. Okay.
And he kind of took me under his wing for that 6 weeks. I did a lot of the demonstrations. I did a lot of what he required in the class from... participation standpoint. Mm-hmm. And then he got me a job at this, it still to this day is top, one of the top restaurants in Memphis, named Erling Jensen's.
Wow.
And so I kind of started off at the bottom, worked my way up.
Yeah.
And then he opened up a second location. And from there, he asked me to be the sous chef. So
wow.
I worked my way basically from like a dishwasher slash prep
guy. I mean, you've done everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I worked my way up through him. That was a great 2 years of education.
Uh-huh.
Worked for him for 2 years and then left there to go work for an amazing chef who's still one of the greatest mentors I have today at a country club. I did that for about a year and a half. Got an offer to be a personal chef for a basketball player.
Cool.
His name was Jason Williams.
Okay.
AKA White Chocolate.
Yeah.
He used to play for the Sacramento Kings.
Uh-huh.
Got traded to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah.
So I was his chef for like 3 months.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That's a fun one. Yeah.
Got fired.
Why? Or we should get into that?
No,
later?
No, we definitely should get into it. No, he's awesome. We're still in good terms.
Okay.
But yeah, just, you know, for what I do cooking and for what they needed, it wasn't a good fit. And there was a morning where they called me basically to heat up oatmeal.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is
not
gonna work.
No, no.
So
no.
I told them I wasn't coming. They said, you know. You're not going to
But you're fine. I mean, you're fine. It's not like it ended on bad terms.
No. Yeah. So I left there, became an executive chef of my first restaurant in a tiny town called Monticello, Illinois, just near Champaign.
Okay.
And I was at my first executive chef job. I did that for a year. And then my buddy, my mentor, who was at the country club, was opening up his first restaurant back in a little town just south of Memphis called Hernando, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to do an upscale Creole steakhouse. I was going to be his sous chef, but also head pastry chef, and come in and be in charge of specials and doing the whole thing.
Cool.
So I jetted back.
You moved a lot. Yeah.
Jetted back, worked for him for another couple years. And then I got asked to work at this French bistro, famous in Memphis. They wanted to redo the whole thing.
Cool.
And bring in a more seafood element, more fresh, lighter dishes. So they hired me to do that. And while working there, another basketball player approached me. His name was Shane Battier. And we ended up talking, falling in love with each other.
Aww, yeah.
Very much on the same page as far as what my goals were cooking, what he wanted from a chef perspective. So I started working for him kind of part-time. Just run over to his house, cook lunch, run back to the restaurant, do dinner, blah, 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 go back. And then he got traded to the Rockets. And he asked me to come with.
Is that how you got to Houston?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was his chef in Memphis for 3 years, did a few restaurants there as more consulting, writing menus and recipes. And then when he got traded to Houston, I kind of moved as his chef and his personal assistant. His assistant, Anne, was amazing, but she was in her late 70s, didn't want to move to Houston.
Yeah.
So I kind of took over about 60% of her duties and was his chef.
Wow.
And I did that for 4.5 years.
Wow.
On top. And then we had a conversation at the beginning of the year 4 about the possibility of him being traded.
Right.
And how he felt like, you know, could be multiple trades throughout his career left. Since he's a great and amazing player and probably be in the Hall of Fame, but he's not as well known name as like, you know, LeBron James. So he felt like trading was going to be in his future. I had just met my son's mom. And I was kind of thinking to myself, I don't really want to leave Texas. I want to kind of stay. And my clock, you know, just like girls have an internal
and a biological clock is ticking.
My restaurant biological clock was ticking. And I felt like I'm not going to be able to put in 90 hours a week, much past 30. So I just was turning 30. 30 or 31. And I had an idea after I came back from a trip to Portland. Mm-hmm. And they have an amazing street food scene.
I think I've heard that, actually. I've never been. But
more trailers than food trucks.
Huh.
All kind of permanent-ish.
That's awesome, yeah.
Way better setup for the customers.
Yeah. There's
tables, chairs, tents.
Oh, cool.
Bars. So it's kind of more modern. But I thought, man, Houston has nothing like this. And this was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So I thought I can come back to Houston, build my own parking lot,
yeah,
put my own trailers, do 4 or 5 different things, and it'd be all my
yeah.
brand.
Yeah.
And I found out when I got back I couldn't do that. The rules suck.
Yeah.
They still suck. They yeah. haven't changed. And so I still thought, man, a food truck would be mm-hmm. killer.
Mm-hmm.
And so go back to my childhood in Chicago. My grandfather had some businesses in Chicago. Named after his father-in-law, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And so my whole life up till I was like 10 years old, I thought Jack was his name.
Because
everybody at the stores, he had a liquor store, and this will date me, but I used to work at his liquor store as a little kid.
Oh.
So my mom would let me work at this liquor store mm-hmm. and ringing up the cash register, and they called me Little Jack. And till I was like 11, I thought his name was Jack, and my grandmother started screaming at Bernie one day. I'm like, who the fuck is Bernie? And she's like,
well, who is this guy?
Yeah, I'm like, Grandma, you've lost your, you know, I called her Bima.
Yeah.
I'm like, Bima, you've lost your mind. And yeah. she's like, no, Bernie's your grandfather.
Oh,
told me the
God.
Whole story. And I was like, that's cool as shit. I want to name my first business after him.
Oh my God.
And so I knew it was going to be Bernie something.
Right.
I thought either pizza, hot dogs, mm-hmm. or hamburgers
mm-hmm.
was going to be the most approachable food for people to walk up mm-hmm. to a truck,
mm-hmm.
In this case, a school bus.
Yep, yep.
But I felt like burgers was my best way to be creative
mm-hmm.
and control the whole process. I'll make my ketchup, I'll
right.
make my mayonnaise, my mustard, my pickles. I'm not going to buy Heinz or French's. I'll make
right.
it all.
Right.
And I'll create something unique to me.
I did not know any of this.
So then it was Bernie's Burgers, and I was like, Bernie's Burger Truck? That sounds fucking lame.
You need the alliteration
Bernie's
there.
Bernie's Burger Bus
yeah.
sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'll keep the yellow and black. I'll do the school theme. I'll call my burgers the principal, the substitute, the
Your menu's so clever. It's
Thank
all so clever. All of it.
But it was a night of me getting super high and...
I love it. That's when the best ideas come.
Sometimes they do.
Wait, so wow. That yeah. was when, and that was the, so when was that?
This was 8 years ago, after a trip to Portland.
Okay. And then when did Bernie's Burger Bus, the first location, open?
The bus.
Oh, the bus. You first had the bus and then you had the
correct.
Street.
Right, so I had one bus, October 4th, 2010
okay.
was the first bus.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got quickly grew into 3 buses
mm-hmm.
and had a stand inside NRG Stadium where the Texans
yeah,
played.
Yeah.
I had that for 2 years. Got fucked around
yeah.
with and left.
Yeah.
And then I opened Bel Air, which was the first location.
Mm-hmm.
This will be 4 years.
4 years?
Yeah, this June.
And so how many locations you have now?
I just signed a lease on my 4th.
4?
Yeah.
That is only in the past 4 years. This has all been 4 years.
Yeah, I've opened 4 locations and I'll be opening 4 locations in 4 years.
That's...
And I opened 3 trucks, basically 4 locations with the NRG.
So do you still have the standalone trucks?
I have 1 truck left.
Oh, you do?
One of the original buses actually inside the Heights. So you can go touch,
cool.
watch people cook inside
oh, that's
the
neat.
Original
that's
bus.
Neat.
Yeah, all of our stores have the buses
I was
going to
say, Bel Air, I know, I've been there, yeah.
That bus in Bel Air has no meaning to me.
Yeah.
We totaled bus 2 with no injuries. But
yeah.
We totaled bus 2, and we only had 2 buses when I had a Bel Air opening, and I decided to keep them out on the streets during
uh-huh.
events when I opened Bel Air.
Yeah, yeah.
And then right when I was looking at the lease space, which took forever, it was about 3 years for the Heights.
Yeah.
I said, and Bus One just crapped out on me. It was on its second engine. I was like, I'm not replacing this.
For sure, for sure.
That's going in the Heights.
Wow.
So
that is so great. So during this time, and we'll circle back to this again, but when did Chopped happen?
So Chopped happened probably a year and a half into the Bel Air opening. Okay. So 5 years into the business.
Okay, got it.
They're pretty aggressive. They came to Houston on Facebook, really, and kind of blurted out, hey, we want Houston people.
And you applied? Or
I applied and got called like within 4 days.
Oh, wow.
It was quick.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I wish I would have known it was that easy. I would have applied a long time ago because I've watched the show.
Yeah,
forever.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking to myself, do I want to go on there? Do I want to expose myself? If I lose, what does that do for me?
Right, right. But you won, so.
Well, yeah. And I was at a point in my life when they were doing their whole media blast that I was confident I could be like, yeah, I could walk in and do this shit.
Love that. Yeah. That's awesome. We're going to get back to that. But that's, and then we're here today and you have four, you just signed your lease on your fourth.
Just signed my lease.
Just signed it. Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So as you know, or as most people know listening, my podcast is primarily about dating, sex, relationships, but also among many other things, but that is one of the main topics that it's kind of evolved into. So your industry, when it comes to dating and relationships and hooking up and all the things, Anthony Bourdain's Kitchen Confidential, yep. Do people really have sex in the freezer, was it? Or?
Yeah.
No, so yeah. How is it dating in your industry?
Well, dating is what it is. It's right. All it could be is dating.
Okay.
Marriage, relationships that are long-term.
They don't exist in your industry?
Very difficult.
Really?
Yeah, because you work weird hours.
The hours.
If you're in any position like I'm in where you have just a shit ton going on, to work with my schedule and my priorities in life, like for me, I'm a prime example of everyone in my industry. You think you can make it work. You start off with a relationship with like my son's mom. Mm-hmm, you open up a business and she quickly thinks, well, I'm number three now, you know,
right.
Very quickly.
Right.
And fair and totally fair.
Yeah.
I mean, me and my son's mom get along totally great, because we've realized that, I couldn't give her what she needed,
right.
Which is attention.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really in this industry, even if you work together, which that dynamic's fucking weird.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that too.
Yeah, you know,
wait, did she work in the industry?
She worked for me.
Oh, she worked for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Not at
first. She was in the apartment industry.
Got it. Okay.
But when I started Bernie's and I started, you know, picking up a huge pace, I convinced her to move out of the apartment industry and work for me. Horrible idea.
I was just gonna. So is
yeah,
it?
You just bring work in. Now you're not.
Well, right. You're intertwined in everything. But do you think that's? I mean, it's not. It's all. It's other industries too. Working with your significant other. It's like,
sure.
What is it? Don't shit where you eat.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like, don't. It's so that yeah. Got complicated. I imagine.
Very complicated
yeah.
There. Time wise, you know, I'm on a food truck. I'd start off at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
On days like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'd work till 3 or 4 in the morning.
Yeah, it's tough. You have like a doctor's
schedule.
And
then schedule. When I get home, all I want to do is crash.
Yeah. You don't have, you don't
I don't want to go out
right.
And participate in life.
So you need, so what if you, what if it's someone else in the industry not working for you or with you, but maybe that works better? Is it if they're both in that industry? Like, because, but maybe not. Maybe your hours aren't the same.
Yeah.
I mean,
no,
you
there's
don't.
Still, there's still a huge question mark on that. I've dated in the industry. I've dated out of the industry.
What do you prefer?
Fuck, that's tough. I prefer in industry.
Because they get it?
Sort of.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes sense.
But there's still this like underlying jealousy, you know, of your time and or what, you know, questioning what you're doing.
Well, because you're your time. Because 4 a.m. you're right. So who knows? You might have gotten off at 12 and then you have 4 hours and
you're, and you know, your girlfriend walks into your restaurant and she sees these two cute waitresses and she thinks to herself when she walks away, why are you there till 2 a.m? Are they there till 2 a.m?
Okay.
There are always these like underlying layers.
Yeah.
And really and truly, to do what we do in our industry at a high level.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even consider myself a high level because I do burgers and fries. But I consider myself a high level in that I don't just go out and buy product, cook it, and serve it.
Right.
I make everything. So the amount of time that is dedicated to that and the process of that.
Yep.
And the level of focus you need for that, you can't have anyone else involved.
So how does it work? No one's married in your industry? Like, how does it, how?
It's very hard. I mean, I would love to know a statistic on chefs that are in marriages and how long they last.
Yeah.
I don't think they're permanent. I would bet you that's a very low number. I bet you it's lower than most industries.
Yeah.
Because especially someone who is as hands-on as I am.
Right.
Which is everyone that is at a level where they care about their craft. And you're there. You know, people don't realize, people don't see me at the restaurant as much.
Right.
But I have a store in Bel Air that is my commissary for the entire operation.
Right.
Ketchup, mustard, pickles.
Oh.
All made in Bel Air.
Got it.
Shipped around to these restaurants for consistency.
Mm-hmm.
That starts at 4 a.m.
Oh, wow. Are you there at 4 a.m. every day?
I will pop in because I have to be in where I have multiple different things. I have to have the ability to pivot, to go into prep, to go into Bel Air, to go to Katy, to go to the Heights, now down to Sugarland.
Yeah.
And I have to do it without really a handwritten schedule, because what I don't want is my employees to know that I'm coming. I want it to always be like...
The best quality, right? Like, not just when you're there, it's top notch.
Yeah,
So it's just
and Bel Air is super important to me. I want to taste that ketchup before it leaves to go to Katy in the Heights.
It's really good ketchup, by the way.
Thank you very much. But I need to taste the consistency.
Yeah.
And so, I get flack for and the press.
We'll get there.
For certain things. And, you know, one in person in particular is like, oh, I haven't seen him the last 4 times I'm there. I'm like, you don't understand. You weren't in there from 4 to 11, which I open at 11.
Right.
And while we were prepping.
And you have multiple locations. So
that
you
too.
Might be schlepping, you know.
But really, you know, my main focus is to get into that kitchen and make sure everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
So... Yeah, I can't work 17 hours 7 days a week. It's impossible.
I mean, so do you think, and you don't have to answer this, but do you think you would ever be in a relationship long-term? Like, do you not see yourself getting married? Is it you want to get the restaurants to a certain place and then, like, or do you'll always be in the day-to-day? Like, how do you think?
Well, my life has another layer, which is... My son lives in Austin.
Oh, right. You have a son. Right. Yeah. Right.
So me and his mom are not together, and she lives in Cedar Park, which is a suburb of Austin.
Oh, okay.
And that's about a 3-hour drive for me. So
you're going back and forth.
Oh, yeah. When he started kindergarten, the beginning of... the middle of 2017, September 2017... Right before then, I knew that, like, I would be only seeing him every other weekend for, like, a day and a half. And I was like, fuck that. I want him in my life at least 50%. Yeah. But my restaurants are here.
Right.
And I don't have enough scratch that I could throw cash to his mom to be like, move here for 13 more years.
Right, right.
So I had to make a choice. I said, do I want to be in my son's life or do I want to not? So what I did is sold my house and got 2 little apartments.
Mm.
I have a tiny little 1-bedroom here and I have a 2-bedroom there.
Wow.
And, I just go back and forth.
And you'll spend a few days at a time in Austin and then come back?
I'll do 2 days here, 3 days there.
Wow. Oh, so you are... are
I'm back.
You're busy. You have a lot. Why don't you just
74,000 miles on my truck in less than 2.5 years?
Oh my gosh! And why don't you just open a Bernie's Burger Bus in Austin?
Quality, same reason.
Oh, because you want to be around it all the time.
I don't want to I don't want to add preservatives. I can get it to Austin fairly easy if I add even natural preservatives, but there's still no like. Sure, not enough research to me that natural preservatives are any different than
preservatives. Right. So, preservatives.
I like the fact that my mustard expires pretty quickly and my pickles expire.
That's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I like all that.
I didn't know your pickles were homemade, like made in
everything.
Wow. I mean, I think I
don't make
the ketchup.
My bun.
Right.
That's Slow Dough Bakery.
Okay.
And that's an amazing
story. Yeah, I was going to say, very good.
I've been eating his bread since Chicago.
Oh.
So his dad owned Deerfield Bakery in Chicago. And when my grandmother, great-grandmother and my grandmother stopped making challah, we would buy it at Deerfield Bakery.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had no idea that he was making that bread here in Houston, his dad's restaurant.
Right.
So I tasted it, and I was like, fuck, dude. This tastes just like...
That's why your buns are so amazing. It's...
Well, yeah, and there's something in the universe that said, hey, dude, you've been eating this challah since you were 6 years
old. That's crazy.
Oh, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
That's a whole... Yeah.
So oh, my gosh.
Buns I don't do.
Yeah.
Sweet potato fries I don't fuck with. And sweet potato tater tots and regular tater tots.
Do you do regular fries?
Oh, I do hand cut fries.
Okay.
Seven different versions of hand cut fries.
Right.
But I do use those three items as something I don't make.
Got it.
But everything else.
Everything else. You're
every sauce. Like,
that's amazing.
Even if we make it with mayonnaise, I have to make my mayonnaise first to put it in to whatever recipe.
Well, no shit, you don't have time for a girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, no, now I got 70 people.
Oh, yeah. But still, you're the one overseeing all that.
Yeah. There's just so... So my schedule is like impossible.
Right. And that's how probably many people are though in the industry, right?
Well, yeah.
If they're chefs and running their
own... If they're chefs and they have kids...
And the kid, right.
When they're off, their time is with their kid.
Exactly.
Even if it's in town, you know, I personally create a layer between my personal life and my child. So my child does nothing. He knows nothing about my dating life.
Right.
Unless this person becomes something significant there's been a year invested.
Right.
Then I might introduce him.
Right.
But right now, he thinks dad's just, you know, hanging out, doing nothing.
For sure, yeah.
So, and that's great. And that's what I want.
So do you think any of, like, the people that work for you, of the 70 people that work for you, have, like, hooked up with each other and, like, been dating?
All the time.
Do you know of it? Like, so you don't have a rule where they can't date in the workplace? Or,
I mean, I do.
I mean, technically you do, but you can tell that there are relationships going on.
Yeah, and then we make them aware that we know, and we say if it's going to be a problem,
right?
Both of y'all have to be gone.
Right, but so, you're together.
It's inevitable. You're there with them all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, the industry itself is very sexual.
Yeah. Because of the booze and just drinking a lot.
It's because of the environment you're trying to create. I mean, most restaurants, you're trying to create this vibe.
Yeah.
And it starts with the staff, right? So if I can get my staff loose, laughing,
in a good mood,
customers pick up on it right away. If they're tense and I'm yelling and
For sure.
It's not that.
So you want them to be loose and kind of,
and food is very sexual. Maybe not Bernie's Burger Bus.
A good burger is great foreplay.
But most food and drinking and all that is very sexual.
Oh, yeah.
It's very oriented that. So we're in the business of providing that environment.
Right.
We're in the business of trying to get people laid. Anthony Bourdain says, that's probably an exact quote.
Right.
He's exactly right because, I mean, there's there's no reason that people are, you know, going out on dates.
Right.
Other than, you know, to eventually get...
Exactly. Well, so do you see a lot of first dates that you're at... at
Bernie's
your
is probably no, tough.
I would love a first date at Bernie's.
I mean, it's hard to tell a first date, you know? It's a new day and age of dating, too.
Yeah.
And Tinder and Bumble and all this shit.
Yeah.
Is like,
but I kind of think your Heights location with a full bar, that could be a good date spot.
For sure.
Even because there's that. Well, although the Beller one you said does have beer and wine, which yeah. I've had the wine, I think, there. Because I love wine, as you can tell. No, so, okay, interesting. So the industry, I mean, it is. It's a very sexy industry. Is it incestuous? Like, everyone that it's, I'm sure there's a lot of, like, do you know everyone in the, I mean, everyone knows everyone.
Yeah.
Like, it's all.
I came from Memphis in restaurant industry, which I felt, you know, Memphis, even though it has, you know, 1+ million people.
Right.
Super tight, small knit
yeah.
community.
Yeah.
Great restaurant scene.
Oh, yeah.
Houston, just as tight. Even though it's
I imagine
six times as big.
Yeah, but
and
oh, I
fucks
bet.
Everybody. So, you know, no offense to anybody out there listening.
No, I love it. I love it. I love this.
Everybody's fucking everybody. So, some server's been slept with this chef, and then she.
You know, it's funny.
Restaurant.
I'm not going to name the restaurant, but there's a restaurant I used to go to a lot. I did work there, whatever. They had good Wi-Fi. And there were definitely two or three couples within, like, between the servers, the bartenders, and they were open about it. I mean, like, because I would become friendly with them because I was there a lot. And two of these people were together. One was having a baby. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, it lends itself to that.
Absolutely. I mean, you're in that environment together so long.
Yeah.
You don't meet people.
Right, right.
It very easily. It's hard to fraternize with the patrons.
Right. Oh, yeah, what about that? What about your server with a patron?
We get a few, like, we have a few good-looking bartenders who definitely get hit on girl-wise and guy-wise.
And I'm sure they go home with them sometimes, right?
I don't necessarily mean, like, right that night. But
maybe another night.
Exchanged. Yeah, numbers are exchanged. I think that happens quite frequently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it makes sense, of course.
I was always in the back of the house, so I never got the customer.
Oh, because, right.
Per se.
But now you're, like,
always
the big
serves.
Man on campus. Like,
well,
you're
now
like,
I can't do shit.
Well, that's true. That's true. You can't.
Now,
that's true.
I don't even, like, I mean, what I hire an age range, because of the type of business that I'm in, I don't hire career servers who are in their late 20s, mid 30s. Most of my kids are 18 to 22.
I was going
to
say, they're probably young. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I look at them as.
But your managers,
kids.
I'm sure, maybe are a little older.
Not really.
Not even, huh? Yeah.
I've got a manager who's like 30, I think is the oldest.
Okay.
I have a 24, a 22,
mm-hmm,
a 21.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're young.
Right, right. No,
talented.
Oh, I'm sure. That's amazing. So back to, because we mentioned it a couple times, but now I'm sure people want to hear about it. So Chopped, I know you've been asked, you've probably had so much press on this, which I know you have, and you've asked a million questions. What is something maybe someone who interviewed you asking you about Chopped that maybe people don't know? Like, what's something, like a little tidbit or fun fact about your experience on Chopped that maybe you haven't shared with the world already?
Fun fact.
Or like, something juicy.
You know, it was an amazing experience. I had a friend there, first girlfriend. In Chicago. She lives in New York, and we went and hung out the night before I went and filmed my episode till like 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, hey.
So nothing happened.
Oh. Nothing happened.
I wish. She is gorgeous. Just as gorgeous as
hi.
I remember.
Say
yeah.
hi to her.
Hi, Jenny.
Oh, hi,
nice
Jenny.
To see you. but yeah, she, so we had a great time hanging out. And so I was really hungover. and I had to be at a Starbucks across from, what's it called? It's like Chelsea Market.
Okay, yeah.
Is where they film mm-hmm. Chopped mm-hmm. on the upstairs
okay.
at Chelsea Market. So you go, you meet at the Starbucks, everyone comes mm-hmm. in, and I'm hungover as shit, and I'm mm-hmm. trying to think to myself, how am I going to make it through this day?
Right.
And so I had taken a few edibles.
Before Chopped?
Before Chopped.
Shut the fuck up. You were on edibles on this episode?
My mom was the first one to comment.
She we got to all watch that tonight, everyone. Go pull that episode up.
I'm probably not going to get invited back for the champions.
You guys should invite him back, though.
Yeah.
Wait, that's
I'll
so
I'll do it even double high.
Yeah. No, oh, my God. That is so, no, so
I was
funny.
I didn't know what to, you know, I just didn't know what to do because I was literally, like, going to sit over a trash can the rest of the day and throw up.
Right.
It was just, like, holy 3 hours shit. Of sleep or 2 hours. And so my brilliant brain, I had just gone to Colorado had some sour patch looking gummies and so I decided to eat one, and my mom so she watched the episode, and the second thing she, after saying congratulations,
she's like, you are high.
She's like, I can tell you.
That's amazing.
Like, I'm so sorry.
Wait, is that like an exclusive piece of information that no other news, not that I'm a news outlet, no other one, no one knows?
I've told maybe 3 friends.
Oh my God, you so guys. That's, wait, that's really.
That's the juiciest detail.
That is so good. Well, you know what's funny?
I could better stand.
That makes sense.
If I'm not cooking, like, I wouldn't go high to work because I have to cook for hundreds of people. But when you're cooking for, like, your friends.
Oh, or at home, yeah.
Or whatever. There's a creativity, there's a looseness. Yeah,
that makes sense.
You put a little bit more love into it.
For sure.
And I'm only having to put four plates 3 times.
Right, right.
So my thought process behind it was like, I'm not in a rush. I don't have to cut up, you know, 50 pounds of meat and get something cooked.
Right.
I have to make 4 plates.
Yeah, like you can.
I can
fine.
Do this.
And you won, so maybe that's the key. Well,
I think it's exactly the key.
Well, what's funny, I told you this before as a sort of sidebar, but so edibles, obviously, they work well with you. You are good on edibles. But when I took an edible a few weeks ago, or it was a couple months ago, I thought I died. So I'm not sure what the trick is there. Mine was a 5 milligram gummy, uh-huh. a sour gummy, and I took it, and I almost called the ambulance. Like, I thought I died.
Were you drinking before?
I was drinking before, and I don't really smoke, so
drinking. If you do not get high before you drink, you'll get the spins. I still do.
Oh, I was spinning weed. Like I was on a fucking Ferris wheel, going real fast.
Yeah,
yeah.
So if you're not high before you get drunk.
Right, right. And so, my friend who I was with had the greatest time. She was, and I was having the greatest time.
Because she probably smoked or ate the edible before she got drunk.
Yes, and she's done edibles before. I think I had one edible in college. Anyway.
I've overdosed before, and I smoke weed all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
But edibles.
On edibles, yeah.
I feel like they should be outlawed a little bit. Like, they're real. You got to know what you're getting yourself into. That's not like smoking the pen.
I think people should, they shouldn't be a little bit more education involved.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, there should be like rookie status.
Yep.
Take 2.5 milligrams.
Right, or like, don't eat the whole cookie, or like, people don't know that.
Yeah,
because it doesn't taste like your.
Well, and the homemade ones, that's like, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know where it is.
But yeah, no, like, I, you know, I've always known my tolerance level based on what legal says. Like, these are 5 milligrams.
Got it, got it.
Okay. So I know I could take 25 milligrams and be totally fine.
Right.
But I get, you know,
No one told me that before I took that. It would have been nice if they did. But no, so the key to winning Chopped is definitely being stoned.
Yes. key to winning Chopped, honestly, swear to God, if anyone's going to go on the show, is they give you 5 minutes or so to walk around that pantry that has all the extra ingredients, make your menu on that shit, and then add the 4 ingredients to
it. I see.
I walked through there, and I said, I'm going to make this. I'm going to make this.
Right.
I'm going to make this. And then whatever's in my basket, I'll add it to it.
Right, right.
Because at least I know what's in the kitchen now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've watched the show enough to see that basket of oranges is always there, the thing of apples. So I knew that it wouldn't change every round. It would always be the same thing. And so when I got in the kitchen, they said, yeah, you could walk around and look at the equipment and look in the pantry. I was like, game up.
Yeah.
I was like, laser bin.
Wow. So... your claim to fame for many people is winning Chopped, but what would you say aside from that, or maybe not, or not, but just what aside from that are you like most proud of in your career? Because that's obviously huge, and that's what most people know because it was televised and the whole thing. But what do you say? Or was that your most?
No, I think honestly, I think there's a pivotal pivotal role.
It's fine.
Yeah. There was a point where I got a review from a local food critic, Allison Cook.
Oh, yeah.
And she did this Burger Friday, and I was just one school bus at the time. That article, when she put me up there against regular restaurants, and she kept the playing field somewhat even. I wouldn't say 100% even, because she did judge me on price. And my biggest problem with critics, if they don't do their education on how much work and what kind of ingredients I'm buying,
right,
you can never, ever comment on price.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Right. No, that makes sense.
But other
Absolutely.
Than that, she gave me this amazing review that... It the next day it changed
Burmese forever. When was this?
January, February of 2011.
Wow.
So 4 or 5 months into the
And do you know her personally? Like
I do now.
You do, yeah. Wow.
At the end before she wrote the article, actually she did two articles. It wasn't the Burger Friday.
Mm-hmm.
She did a Burger Friday followed by a full on like
review.
And she came out to Lizard's Lounge, which is
I know Lizard's Lounge. Yep, it's right near my I get my alterations done right next door at Mary's. Yeah.
Very nice place to get alterations. It's a beautiful house.
It is. I know Lizard's. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so Lizard's was the first bar I ever parked at. I would do my dinner service and late night service till 3 a.m. there.
Wow.
I built up that yuppie-ish crowd right there.
Wow.
All the guys with the frail hats polo shirts and jeans.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all the same crowd.
Wow.
But those are my first clientele. And I'd hand out free burgers to them because they'd be like, fuck you, $10 burger.
Oh my God. Wait, so Allison Cook, what was, might be because I'm drinking too much wine, what was the Allison Cook connection to Lizards?
Oh, so she shows up there.
Okay.
Last, at the end.
Oh.
And after she's done many visits, she shows up to Lizards, and I walk into the bar to go do something. And I notice, you know, everyone's the same. And then I notice this little, cute older lady with glasses sitting there with a couple older guys who just, you know, they don't belong there.
Right. This is not the Lizard's Lounge crowd.
And I had kind of, after the Burger Friday thing, I'd seen that face.
Yeah.
I recognized her. I was on the bus enough. So I just walked over and I just said, fuck it, I'll introduce myself. And it was her. And she let me talk. And she put that part of that in the interview, which I thought was fantastic.
Wow.
I got to tell my Shane Battier story. Got to add all that, which I felt if, you know, the stars weren't aligned on those 2 weeks, I probably would have had a pretty rough go-round financially. Because I started in October 2010.
Yeah.
Back up just about 8 months before that, I just started dating my son's mom in Austin, doing the back and forth. So I'm trying to get a food truck ready, cook for a basketball player, dating a girl in Austin.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Shit.
Start the food truck in October 2010.
Right.
Tell her this shit's popping. We're going to have... I'm never going to see you unless you move to Houston. Convince her to move to Houston.
Oh, my gosh.
November 2010. She gets pregnant January 2011.
Mm.
And so not only am I opening my first business...
Oh, my gosh.
In October...
You have a child.
I have a child. And my son's mom has a child from another marriage.
Okay.
And he was 13 at the time. So I have a teenager.
Oh, my gosh.
A girl that I have to take, a girl and a teenager that I have to take care of, a newborn on the way, and a brand new business with zero income coming in.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, she was, that was the key right there.
So Allison Cook, essentially her reviews changed the whole trajectory of that's amazing.
The most fucking ironic thing in the world, because I hate bloggers and reviewers when it comes to food.
Hey, I used to be a blogger.
But for food, I get that.
But that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big... I mean, that's... Wow. Okay, so...
Totally.
And she was... Chopped, Allison Cook.
Yeah, and I get to go back on Chopped eventually. I'm thinking they're going to do it. There's 4 Houston winners out of the 16 that were on Chopped.
Oh, for like a championship, like kind of.
You get to go back. Right. But it's a very like open schedule. They said it could be up to 3 years from when your episode.
Oh, starts. I see. But we should expect to see you again.
Yeah.
On the TV.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Unless they figure out I got stoned. And
then they're like, fuck, I don't know if they're listening to hashtag no filter. But if they are, that would be amazing.
Yeah. And bring it on. It's legal in most states.
It is. And it's going to be legal. It's going to be legal everywhere. Yeah. So, okay. Soon to be wrapping up. Couple last things. What advice would you give to, it's twofold. First, what advice would you give to someone wanting to break into your industry?
Never do a fucking food truck unless you live in Austin, Dallas, California, somewhere where the laws provide you the ability to have some consistency in location. Mm-hmm. Houston requires you to move.
Yeah.
So open up. Go cheap rent.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say that to a lot of people think that A locations is the place to be, but commercial real estate prices suck.
Yep.
And unless you have a high end concept that's going to do, you know, $3 to $6 million a year, you need to find a place that you're renting for less than $7,000 a month.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
So go small, start off small. Get a small footprint, sign small leases with good extensions, and start your menu off small.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people try and do too much too fast. When I opened, I had two burgers and two
really?
Fries. Yeah, that was it.
Wow, you have a lot more now.
But we get confident.
Yeah, exactly. But we start small.
We can execute.
Right.
We can execute this one.
Run or walk just, before you run.
Yeah, crawl before you walk.
Or crawl before you walk. Even crawl before you walk.
Yeah, crawl before you walk.
Okay, so.
Yeah, no, I would say definitely that. And one of the best piece of advice is that anyone could give me is if you're going to start a restaurant of any kind, you want to feed the masses so that you can eat with the classes. Because if you feed the classes, you eat with the masses. And so don't go do that fine dining shit first, because you make zero money and you're going to be living with... on a super tight budget, go do something.
So feed the masses.
Feed the masses. I did burgers. I'm not, my passion is food in general, but my passion is to cook something new every day. My goal, Bernie's is my stepping stone into my passion project.
Yep.
But I always was told feed the masses, because you, in this industry, you work off very little profit. The big boys... Big boys make 20% net profit. The average mom and pop shop makes anywhere from 6 to 10%.
Wow.
So you work your butt off for very little.
Yep.
So if you're going to do it, go big or go home.
And be passionate about it, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't even.
Go big or go home.
Go bigger, right.
I'm growing because I know I can consistently do it.
Yeah.
Looking at one store in... 7 to 9 locations in the Houston area, and not ever jeopardize my standards of quality.
Right.
The bigger that I'm getting, the more quality of people that I'm acquiring on my team, easier it is for me to keep that consistency, because now I get to spread the talent out.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
That's very good advice. And now what would be your advice if you were to date in your industry? Meaning someone who's already in your industry and dating.
Be upfront and honest.
Yeah, about your schedule and
your love is.
Yeah.
You know, you have a passion. If you're a cook and you're aspiring to be a chef who owns his own restaurant, you're going to have to put in all these hours.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to go down that game with you, you've done everything in your power to at least give them the opportunity out.
Right.
Because you've let them know, like, look, you know, if me hanging out with you between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. is going to work for you, then great, because that's what I'm offering.
But if not, it might not work.
Let's not.
Yeah. Just be upfront. Really be advice for anyone in any sort of.
Yeah.
But especially your world. I mean, it sounds like the schedule is everything.
And I think people need to know the passion.
Yes.
People need to know that there's There's a level.
And that's attractive, though. Like, someone might be like, I'm down with only seeing you maybe once a week. Or what? I mean, if you're, you know, I think it's best.
You can hope.
You can hope, but you don't know. Okay, so.
I'm 39 and single.
So that's your choice.
That's been working. It's been working just the way I think it is.
Okay, before we totally wrap up, you've been in the press recently. Some people might know. Some people have read the articles. Some people have not. Honestly, I'm fucking confused. Like, I don't... What's the deal? Like, I read an article about you recently. Like, can you just, like, clear it up and, like, what is the deal? Because I don't know.
Basic terms.
Like, layman's terms. Yeah, very basic.
I opened up when I had one bus and two buses and three buses. Mm-hmm. I still had one LLC, company. When I expanded into restaurants, for insurance purposes, I was told I needed to build separate companies.
Right.
So Bernie's in Bel Air is its own company, own tax ID number.
Got it.
The buses have their own company and tax ID number.
Got it.
When I opened up Katie, I had to open up a new LLC, new tax ID number, all that.
Mm-hmm.
When I do payroll, I have to do it for each one separately.
Mm-hmm.
And I send it in to one of the largest fucking payroll companies in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that if I have different tax ID numbers,
mm-hmm.
a person could work at my Bel Air location and work 30 hours
right.
and get a check. And then they can go to my Katy location and work 30 hours and get a check. And I could pay them the same time.
Right.
Like if they're making 17 an hour, which most of my cooks make just as good as anyone.
A decent buck.
anyone in the industry,
mm-hmm.
I'll keep up with any fine dining place.
Right, right.
Because I don't want to train people.
No,
I want to keep
right.
consistency.
Yeah.
So I offered them, hey, you can come work here during the day, and you can work here at night.
Mm-hmm.
My daytime people over here can come work over here at night.
Yeah.
And so what we did is we did this big flip-flop thing.
Right.
And everyone...
And they were down. They wanted to do that.
They didn't want to work for me. They didn't want to go get a second job. Everybody in my industry has to have a second job.
Oh.
So what they want to do is they want to stay working for me. And I told them I can't afford overtime. I can't just let you sit at Bel Air
right.
for 16 hours a day,
right.
5 days a week. I could.
Oh, so you were upfront about this. You were like, I can't pay you overtime. Like, you can go work here. It's a separate thing. Like,
yeah.
They knew all the... Okay.
Yeah. And so as this is all happening and I'm sending this into this large-ass payroll
yeah.
company, I'm not getting any feedback from anybody telling me I'm doing something wrong. So flash forward... A year and a half after I opened the Katy store, I hired a director of operations to help me grow and do the business side.
Yeah.
Within the first 2 weeks of him being there, he said, dude, that's illegal. If they work at, it doesn't matter because even though they have different tax ID numbers, different names, and different entities, they're doing business as the same company, and it's got to be considered overtime. I said, shit.
But you had no idea.
I had no idea. I said, I worked for a guy, the first guy I worked for, who opened up
mm-hmm.
a second restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and I'd work hours there and get one check, and I'd work hours there.
Like, it was totally, like, you did not know. This
no
is
one
not,
knows
No
that.
One knew. Why would you know? Who would know
and
that?
Who
right.
gives you, no one gives you a fucking handbook when you open your business
right.
and say, you can't do this.
Right.
Update
it would be
me
nice,
on tax
but...
law.
Right.
So, and here's the onus, in my opinion, is on the payroll company. When they process the check that is getting sent to all one address so that we could divvy it up amongst the stores and make it easier for our
right.
employees who are getting two checks to just get two envelopes, they never said a word to us.
Right.
And then when we ask them that, all they do is send us the letter that we signed saying there's no... liability. You signed off on any.
Of course,
we just do what we are supposed to.
So
largest in the world.
Wow.
Okay.
So this is probably
we're not with them anymore. By the way,
I hope not.
Yeah.
But this probably has happened other situations like you, where they have multiple locations and different LLCs and all the
the time.
This happens a lot. So why?
So my guy sees it. We fix it immediately.
Yeah.
Within the first 30 days of him starting for me, we fix it. 5 months later, we get audited by the Department of Labor.
Oh, gosh.
So they go back and they see we have 5 months of clean books and that we have a year and a half where we are paying through these employees to
right.
different entities.
Right.
So we already knew we made the mistake. We told them up front when they came in and did the
audit. Right, it's not like you were trying to hide this.
No, we cleaned it up. We fixed it. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I'd worked for other places. We were very honest. That's why they never fined us. That's why they never took us to court. We said, we have no problem paying these people for our mistake.
Yeah.
It sucks because we were all under the assumption that everyone was already paid. But I didn't. I made a mistake. I will pay for my mistakes.
Right, right.
And so that was back in 2016. Then Univision gets a hold of a tax record and sees that a settlement has been made with the Department of Labor.
Right.
And they decided to come out with a story like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, so this is not like a new thing. Like, no. You dealt with this. Like
we agree.
Right.
We weren't fine. We set up a payment schedule. They said, I need you to give these people their checks over a year.
And you did.
We're about 80%. We're still following the schedule.
Right, right.
Because it started at the end of 2016. And so we are finishing the payment schedule or whatever. And here's the crazy part. Most of those employees still work for me.
Right.
And even the more crazy part is, if you go to those employees, they all came up to me and wanted to hand back that check because they understood.
Oh, I just got chills.
Because they knew, like, we weren't trying to fuck them over. We were just like, if you want to keep working for us, we'll just put you wherever you want. So we had to, you know, sit down, have this huge meeting, explain to people.
The media likes a story. Yes. Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing, and I'm not trying to relate this to anything. Because there's a ton of negativity going on about a lot of people in the news, but a lot of it is, and look, there's a lot of fucking horrible people out there that do things like I'm doing and
on purpose and malicious.
But there's a lot of stories that just come out about allegations and it automatically assumes guilt on the person.
Yep.
And what sucked for me was my PR, my lawyer, they all want me to shut my fucking mouth and not talk about the company that really could have solved my problem a long time ago and should, because they pay the taxes to the government. They keep me in compliance with all the laws for federal and FICA and all that. They're abreast of every law that the IRS has. I'm not. And like I said, when I started Bernie's and I got my tax ID number, they never sent me a book.
Right. Would have been nice if they did. Then you would have understood. Known. It's such a shame then that, because, I mean, when I saw the article, I'm like, I don't really understand this, whatever. And then I knew we were going to talk anyway, and I was going to ask you. But that's a shame because some people read, they believe what they read. They don't want, you know, so that, wow. Okay. So. Yeah. Thank you for explaining that.
No, it's I hope I was on Michael Barry's show. He called me because he had the same problem.
Oh,
And he contacted. Well, he had the same kind of problem with the comptroller.
Yeah,
but you know, he was. I've had so many people after talking about it with him, tell me like, "Thanks, man, you saved me." Because they're doing it wrong.
I was just going to say, a lot of people listening that are in
they're doing it wrong.
Yep.
And it's
because, and you didn't know. And they didn't know.
No. What sucks is, thank God I have a thriving business that's growing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I would have got hit with that $63,000 fine at a time I wasn't doing well, I would have had to let go of, at that time, 35 to 40 employees.
Oh, wow.
You know, close down shop and let go of all these people and all these people's livelihoods for a mistake.
For a mistake. It's exactly. You were not doing anything. It's a mistake.
It happens. It's a mistake.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for clearing that up.
My pleasure.
And on a lighter note, what's next for Bernie's Burger Bus? What's the next plan?
So, our lease, which is just happened, is going to be the newest store.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be in the Sugar Land, Missouri City area.
Awesome.
Right on the border there on Highway 6.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Very cool. When will that open? I mean, you just signed the lease, I guess, but...
Yeah, my guess is end or first of the year.
It's a
second generation space, so we don't have a ton to do, but we have to wait for permits. All that.
Awesome, that's exciting.
Yeah, and so we're looking at a fifth.
Oh, can you say where?
But what I will tease everybody with...
Get ready, guys.
...is this is going to be the most exciting Bernie's we've ever done. It's going to be in one of the most unique locations we've ever done, and it's going to have a menu that's different than... It's going to be a Bernie's Burger Bus, but it's going to have a menu that's different than any Bernie's out there.
So when will you be able to share details on such a thing? Because that's exciting.
I got to sign the lease.
Oh, okay, okay. So what...
We're working on that.
That's so exciting.
So we have a letter of intent. Those take normally, you know, 30 to 60 days depending on the negotiations. So whenever we
Very exciting. Oh, yeah. So you have a lot coming up.
Always.
Okay, well, before we wrap up, I like to do a little rapid fire, quick fire, whatever you want to call it, round. And you won't have much time to think. Just answer as it comes to you.
Ready.
Some are silly, some are not. Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Lake or ocean?
Lake.
If you could have drinks, or in your case, if you could cook for anyone, or have anyone in your Bernie's Burger Bus, living or dead, who would it be?
Wow. James Beard.
Oh, yes. That makes sense. Okay. And you would cook for him? You would want to...
I think for American cookery, he's the number
he's
one.
He's the mecca.
Yeah.
All right. Who would you want, if there was going to be a movie about you and your story, who would you want to play you?
Brad Pitt.
Duh.
Yeah. Brad Pitt or David Beckham.
David Beckham. You know? Yeah, that's a toss-up.
Or
that's
a child that the two of them had together.
Yeah, either way.
Yeah. I mean, I'd want to look my best.
So. Right, of course.
Yeah. You guys can't see me now, but I do have the same six-pack.
He does. He totally does. And he has some awesome tattoos, by the way. Yeah. So he's actually Jewish. I'm Jewish, as you all know probably by now. And he has a... What is that, a pig? It's a pig. I mean, I need to take a picture and put it on my Instagram. A pig, but it has the name of each part of the pig in it, but right next to it is a Jewish star, and then above it is something for his mom, which is just amazing.
Yeah.
it's all good. And the six pack. What is your the ideal best first date for you? Like, not, you know, just dinner and a movie, drinks and this. What's your ideal first date?
Someone that I can't stop talking to.
Oh my God, I got chills. Like, that's a great answer.
But it's true.
So you don't care where you are, what you're doing. You just want to talk.
If I'm that interested,
right?
That's fucking awesome.
100% agree.
Very hard. obviously.
But that.
39 and still single.
By choice.
Yeah.
Right? It's okay, what if you were told you only have one more meal before you die? What's your last meal on earth?
Last meal on earth from a person that is alive or dead?
Yes. Dream big.
I would want a meal by Paul Bocuse or James Beard duo.
And what food would it be?
Pig related.
Yeah. Love it. Okay.
Probably at least from the head area, the cheek, the collar.
Okay.
Very interesting. Delicious.
I was a vegetarian for like 2 months, but now I'm back into red meat. I tried it. Didn't work.
Yeah.
No, I tried the whole vegetarian thing and then I tried the vegan thing and I fucking love red meat.
Yeah.
But yeah, into it. Okay.
Yeah. I love all kinds of vegetables too.
That's how he got his six pack.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think I might, or no, I don't know if I know. Okay, who is your favorite chef in the world? Or who you most look up to, or who's your everything?
Favorite chef in the world has got to be tie between Daniel Boulud or Thomas Keller.
Okay, I don't know Thomas Keller, but I know Daniel Boulud.
Thomas Keller has a bunch of restaurants, most known for the French Laundry.
Oh, I know French Laundry. I've been there. Oh, but I didn't know that was Tom. I didn't know who the
Thomas
chef was.
Keller.
Can I just say though, I didn't love it.
Yeah.
Because I was a vegetarian at the time, so I got the vegetarian menu. I didn't eat anything. But Thomas Keller, French Laundry. I feel like a dumbass. I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, for me, his cookbook, the French Laundry cookbook, which is by far one of the most
inspirational.
And technique just amazing. He is definitely of my generation of cooks, guys in our late 30s. He's who we aspire to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like the, that restaurant is the everything.
Well, and you know, his his Grant Atkins of Alinea in Chicago, who worked for Thomas Keller, who worked for, what's his name? Ferran Adria of El Bulli. He's, you know, he's got a 3 Michelin star restaurant in Chicago. And some can say that he is better than his mentor.
Okay.
I had an amazing experience at Alinea. It wasn't. You know, the thing about fine dining is food is not the is not 100% the focus.
Not at all. It's the whole experience.
And that's where I have my problem. So when I'm done selling Bernie's, what is my ultimate dream is to create basically this island in my kitchen where people sit. And I hand that meal over to them. I get to explain. Just like when I was a personal chef. Some of the best meals
I
know him and his friends had were sitting at that island. Me being able to pour their wine. Choose it for them. Explain to what farmer why I went there. Why I called Rick at Honolulu Seafood in Hawaii.
And had
fish overnighted for this dinner that they're having tonight.
You have to do this.
This experience was, but you can't make money. And because I want to work with talented motherfuckers.
Right.
So I will hire the best chefs because I want to continue my education.
Because I will say
something. And I want to be around young people. Young people have better ideas than old people. I know it sells.
I
can write a menu that sells.
But it's some of these fine dining places. You know, I have a couple of friends. I wouldn't say I'm a big foodie, but I have a couple of friends that are like the first time. You know. What's the one here? Oxheart, and a couple of them, but
Justin Yu.
Justin Yu. Oh yeah, amazing.
Better food at Better Luck Tomorrow.
Oh, but I like Better. I've only had drinks there, but
get the fucking patty melt.
Oh really? I love that place.
I own a burger place, so I'm telling you to eat it there.
Wow.
But I mean, he's dropped that layer of stuffiness.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. The reason I don't love fine dining restaurants is I find them very stuffy. And I am clearly very loud, whatever. But I just don't feel myself in these restaurants. Like, I feel like I don't know what fork to use. Like, you know, not like I'm, what's the reason, Pretty Woman, like Julia Roberts, where I don't know anything. But I could do it. But that's not authentic to me. Like, I don't, you know. So the idea that you'd be around your kitchen but having this fine dining meal, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, casual.
Love it. Fine dining.
It to be a tasting menu setup.
Right.
Because I want people to experience what I thought I got best at the market that day.
Yeah.
And I want them to have a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But I want to be very casual.
I love that. Please do that sooner than later.
I want people to come in like a sundress.
Yes.
And
I can't.
Just like they're coming to my house. Because here's the, I envision them walking into my dining, like my foyer.
Yeah.
I see them being issued off into a little bar area with couches.
Yes.
You know, be casual.
Yes.
A turntable playing good music.
Please do this. And then going in and having the dinner.
Into the kitchen.
Love it.
Yeah.
Please do that. Well, that's amazing. You're so interesting. Thank you. This was great. We might have to have you back again when you can announce where your next maybe place is, and then we can talk about more things.
Sounds awesome.
Or if he's on Chopped again. But anyway, thank you so much for being here. Thank you guys so much for listening as always. Are you on Instagram?
I am.
What's your
Burger_Ninja?
Burger_Ninja, and that's your personal one.
Yeah.
And then Bernie's Burger Bus, I assume, has. Yeah. Okay. So follow Justin, and I'm of course Julie Lauren 14. You can follow me there. And thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you very soon. Bye.
Hey, America, Christopher Hahn here, the Aggressive Progressive Podcast. What is with the president and the right-wing echo chamber encouraging these AstroTurf protests against stay-at-home orders around the country? It's ridiculous, and it needs to stop. Check out the Aggressive Progressive Podcast wherever you download podcasts.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, COVID continues to reshape the law. Supreme Court arguments will be held by teleconference. The justices won't even know if the lawyers are wearing pants, which is fair given the eternal mystery of what's under those black robes. Los Angeles County is springing 25% of its inmates. The sheriff suggests folks get ready for what might be a spike in crime. Check it all out on the next episode of Too Many Lawyers.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.